Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and lots of us have fantasized about the perfect political candidate for Democrats. Maybe it's a mix of Clinton's charm with FDR's populist agenda. For Republicans, Reagan's vision mixed with Eisenhower's fiscal discipline. Well, the folks at Planet Money have decided to build their perfect candidate, at least a perfect candidate according to economists. What they ended up with was a fake candidate who might be truly unpopular with people in both parties with his ideas for revamping the economy. Robert Smith is part of the Planet Money team, as many of you know, and he's here to talk about the fake candidate and the bipartisanship that this might inspire, possibly a bipartisan revolt. Hi, Robert. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be here. Yeah, our candidate is all brain and no heart, no charm, actually no redeeming qualities whatsoever, except perhaps the truth. So,
not the truth.
No, that'll never get you elected.
The truth has no heart. I'm not sure if I like that starting point. But who were your economists and what was their task?
Well, we decided to get economists from across the political spectrum. So we got some liberals like Dean Baker's down in D.C. and Robert Frank from Cornell. We got some conservatives, Luigi Zingales from University of Chicago. You know, they're all conservative out there. And Russ Roberts, a libertarian from D.C., from George Mason University. And we got Catherine Baker. She's from Harvard. She's somewhere in the middle, health economist. And we sat him down and we just said, okay, you disagree on a bunch of stuff. So what can you agree on? Like, there must be something, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're economists. We actually agree on most things.
So this is – and for people who don't know those names, I mean, you know, you're talking about like Dean Baker. He would be with Krugman, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, very, very close to a lot of the same points of view and then some of the conservatives from University of Chicago, et cetera.
They want to dismantle the government, yeah.
So these are the things that they actually agree on.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that they you know, we think that there are these huge divides in our country, especially over the economy, because that's all the presidential candidates talk about, the minor difference between this percentage income tax and that percentage income tax. But economists, like, when they sit down, they say, listen, if we can dream and say whatever we want, then let's do it. Let's reform the entire tax system.
So we'll find out in a minute what those things are that they agree about. But I do want to say that not only did you build a fake candidate, you even gave him his first campaign ad. So let's take a listen, and then we'll talk about the recommendation.
It's time for real tax reform to help the middle class. For years, this country has subsidized home mortgage payments, a deduction that benefits the wealthy but pushes up home prices for everyone else. It's unfair, and I believe it's time we end that deduction and pass on the savings to you by bolstering education, improving services for seniors, and funding job training programs. Renting, owning, large house or small, American families deserve a fair tax plan that helps every home.
Really? You put these liberal and conservative economists in a room, and the first thing they came up with was abolishing the mortgage interest tax deduction? Isn't that like the path to home ownership for the great American middle class?
It is literally the first thing that every economist says, because it is, from an economist's perspective, it is crazy. It is the government picking a group of people and saying homeowners and saying you basically get to keep thousands of dollars for the sheer fact that you signed a giant, you know, loan with a bank. You renters, you guys are nobodies. You do not get the money. In fact, renters, you know, under theory, pay more money every year, and that money gets funneled to homeowners. Now, if you're a homeowner, like I am, you're not going to vote for this candidate because it's awesome. It is free money from the government. But, you know, most people are not, and especially here in New York.
And this deduction costs the U.S. government about $100 billion a year in lost revenue.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big deal. But that's how the politicians would look at it. From an economist's point of view, it distorts the entire system. Because the one principle that all economists agree on is that if you tax something, you get less of it. If you take away a tax on something, you get more of it. So we've just had a housing bubble. We have housing prices at one point during the bubble going up. Part of the reason the economists say was because the U.S. government was subsidizing that.
And it is a regressive tax, which is, I guess, one of the reasons the liberal economists would wish to attack it. If you're a billionaire and you buy a home that's worth $50 million and you have this huge amount of mortgage interest, you get to take that deduction. That's a pretty regressive tax break.
Yeah, and when you think about renters are in some small way paying for that tax break. Like it's absolutely sort of redistribution of income toward people who bought a home. And, you know, I work with Alex Bloomberg, who did this project with me. He's a renter. He lives close to me. I get the break. He doesn't.
All right. Your next two recommendations, the ones from the consensus of liberal and conservative economists, target business. And the first one is get rid of another tax deduction, the one that employers get for providing health insurance. Again, uh-oh. So that effectively raises taxes on businesses and workers. A nice matched set with eliminating the mortgage interest deduction. Just sock it to the middle class in the name of the middle class. Take away the tax-free health insurance benefits you get at work.
I have to say, this one amazes people when you lay it out because this is really the biggest benefit that the government gives in terms of tax breaks. And nobody even thinks that they have this, the fact that you get a benefit from your work and you don't pay taxes on it. But this costs the U.S. government $180 billion a year. Now, you could say, well, why would you want to tax health care? I mean, health care is a good thing. Our economists say something that no voter wants to hear, which is that some of you have too much health care. Some of you have plans that pay for everything at work. And the reason why your plans are so good is why wouldn't you? You're not taxed on them. You know, you take everything you possibly can. This is the kind of thing that economists, you know, say are no-brainers. But once you tell people, I've never told this to anyone. We talk to political consultants. We talk to voters. They look at you like you are crazy.
And so does either the Obama health reform law or whatever Romney suggests he might replace it with include eliminating the tax deduction for health benefits at work?
Oh, God, no. No, no. Because the moment somebody says this out loud is the moment somebody puts an ad up that says, my opponent wants to tax the middle class. He wants to raise taxes on everyone. He wants to hurt jobs. He wants to hurt health care. And what are you going to say? What is our fake candidate going to say? Well, academics like it.
Actually, wasn't there a thing in the Obama plan about taxing the so-called Cadillac plans,
yeah,
ending their tax-free status?
Yeah, I think on the higher end, on the very higher end.
Right.
You know, our economists, they were absolutists about everything.
Why would this be consistent with the values of a liberal economist?
Well, I think for a liberal economist, they are looking at ways in which the tax code benefits people who make more money and who have better jobs and better plans and all of this. And the idea is basically with all of these plans, and this is where liberals and conservatives can agree, fairness in the tax system does two things. It's there for fairness. It's there for equality. That's what the liberals would like. But a fair tax plan also means that you can lower overall taxes. Every tax break is paid for by somebody. It's paid for higher taxes on something else. So, you know, a true conservative economist looks at that and they say, this is the government walking into the marketplace and picking winners and losers.
Robert Smith from our Planet Money team talking about their project to run a fake presidential candidate designed by liberal and conservative economists, real liberal economists like Dean Baker, real conservative economists like Zingales from the University of Chicago, and only the things on which they actually agree upon would this candidate, this fake candidate, espouse with respect to the economy. And, of course, this is an economy-obsessed election in 2012.
The next one liberals are going to love.
Well, I don't know what you have next on your list, but I have
corporate tax.
Okay, right. And I'm gonna bundle that because we're going to run out of time
Sure.
soon. But when you get to business taxes or tax other kinds of taxes in general, yes, eliminate the corporate tax, eliminate the income tax, and eliminate all payroll taxes. These are the ones that are devoted to Social Security and Medicare. Excuse me?
Yeah, that leads to a very poor central government. I'll take those just slightly separately because some of these things are not entirely consistent, being economists. But the corporate tax was interesting because liberals are, you know, our liberal economists, they were really straight about this. They said the reason why some people support corporate taxes is because they want the rich to pay more money. But if you want to tax the rich, we have many ways of taxing the rich. Why tax a corporation? You want corporations to grow. I mean, you want them to reinvest in jobs. Once they pay the money out to their stockholders, many of whom are very rich, you know, tax at any rate you want, the liberals would say. But trying to sneak that into a corporate tax, that's wrong. That's what they'd say.
And conservatives say that's double taxation anyway, because the corporation gets taxed, and then the individuals who are the stockholders who own the corporations, then they get taxed as individuals on the profits, and they're really the same people.
Yeah, and the liberals and conservatives would disagree about what to do once you got rid of the corporate tax. You know, I think, you know, one of Dean Baker was saying you would probably have to raise the, you know, you'd probably have to raise the tax rates up to 40-45% to the rich to make up for that. Our conservatives were not on board with that. But I'll take the next one very quickly, which is, if you can do it quickly, which was a lot of these economists said the dream of reforming the tax code is really to eventually move away from income taxes or even payroll taxes, because essentially, it's what I was saying before. If you tax something, you get less of it. Why do you want to tax income or creating jobs? What they would move toward is some sort of consumption tax, which is similar to the VAT in Europe, which is basically adding – it's different than a sales tax, but it's adding all parts of the process. You know, bottom line, you'd probably pay 25-30% more for everything, but under the theory – you wouldn't be having all that money taken out of your paycheck every week.
Why wouldn't a value-added tax and, in effect, a national sales tax be incredibly regressive, because poor people have to pay for their toothpaste and their, you know, things that you just need to get through every day?
Well, because economists think that they have better ideas about this. You know, for instance, there's lots of ways to make a sales tax like this progressive, really. And one of the ones that I loved, and this is Robert Frank was talking about this up at Cornell, very liberal economist. He said, basically, if you had this plan, everyone would pay a lot more for their products. They wouldn't pay income tax. But every year, the government would send you a check. Rather than you send them a check, they would send you a big check that would basically refund your taxes on necessities or whatever it was. And so if you had this kind of plan, it would end up being both progressive and what candidate wouldn't want to say, I'm going to send you all a check for thousands of dollars.
So these are the platform planks of the consensus candidate, the fake candidate for president that Planet Money commissioned this panel of liberal and conservative economists to come up with as an act of consensus. And you took one further step and you polled Americans on these ideas. And you also talked to political consultants about how to sell this to the American people now that this group of liberal and conservative economists have come up with their consensus ways to actually fix the economy. So how does all this play? Are any of these actually viable?
Well, there was one plank, we didn't talk about it, that maybe got a majority of support, and that was legalizing marijuana.
Uh-huh.
So there is one thing that the American public might vote for this candidate for. Our political consultant said this is the biggest loser they have ever seen in their life. One guy told me the only person who would vote for this is a CEO of a corporation who doesn't own his own home and takes the subway every day. And I don't know how many of those there are out there. And smokes marijuana.
There was also taxing carbon emissions.
Yes, exactly.
So I wanted to throw that in so we have the complete platform. But wait a minute. No corporate taxes. Repeal the income and payroll taxes. Legalize marijuana. Aren't you essentially describing the Libertarian Party, Ron Paul platform?
Well, without getting rid of the Fed and going back to the gold standard, things that economists would have a huge problem with. And, you know, there are, I have to say, the taxes would be raised, you know, on the other side, if, you know, before you move to at no point are economists saying get rid of taxes. They're just saying make the taxes more fair by eliminating deductions. And eventually, if you were to move to, and it's an eventual thing, if you were to move to more of a consumption tax, you would still be raising money. You would still have fairly high taxes in the United States of America. So it's not the free-for-all, the dismantling of the government, the no taxes. But, you know, it's once you allow economists to dream, there is a sort of freedom message. I think that they all, you know, they're economists. They believe in the market. So,
by the way, we noticed in the ad that you made for your fake candidate designed by economists that he's not only tieless, but he's also got the top two and that might be three buttons of his shirt undone. Maybe you're recommending the Barack Obama and Mitt Romney button-down approach, that they show a little more skin while doing the foreign policy debate tonight?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't there for the actual shooting of the video, but I remarked upon that too. I'm like, wow, like this guy's playing up the chest hair crowd, you know? They say you can't get elected with facial hair, but maybe chest hair is what the candidates need.
And you can see this video of the Planet Money fake presidential candidate designed by liberal and conservative economists at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Does your candidate have a name?
You know, we decided not to give a name because, you know, God help us all if he actually got any votes. So
can the Brian Lehrer Show audience give him a name?
Sure, give him a name.
So how are we going to do this? With a hashtag? How about fake candidate? Okay, listeners, tweet at me. We'll make sure Planet Money gets it. Or you have a Planet Money hashtag handle?
Sure, it's at Planet Money.
At Planet Money,
yeah.
At Brian Lehrer. Name the Planet Money fake candidate designed by liberal and conservative economists.
Loser McNo-Voterson.
Loser can be your winner, says Robert Smith from the Planet Money team. Really, really provocative. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, New York Times columnist Gail Collins next. Stay with us.